Gaz, the beat maker.
Living unapologetically.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes, it is another episode. I feel like DJ Khaled and another one. Yes, I told y'all I'm rolling through. I am rolling through. And as usual, I have another fire guest. Yes, another fire guest. It's the lovely, beautiful lady sitting to me, next to me today. I'm going to let her introduce herself. But first, I want to say thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my viewers. I appreciate all the views. I appreciate the comments, the emails. Keep them coming. I could never, never, never get enough of receiving positive affirmations, receiving your views, your comments. I love reading them. I love talking to everyone. Without further ado, I'm going to get into my guest.
Hey, everyone.
How you doing? Go ahead and let them know
who you are. I'm doing well. I'm Kata Burke-Williams, and along with my sister, I'm the co-founder of a niche fragrance brand called Aspen Apothecary. Mm-hmm. So I am from Ohio, born and bred, moved around a lot, and right now I'm living in Boston, and we are working on launching our brand.
Okay. Let them know what brand are you launching. Let them know the name and what's the product.
Great. So what we do is our aim is to bring a fresh and diverse face to fragrance because mm-hmm. there really isn't a lot of diversity in the fragrance industry. And so my sister and I came up with this idea, which we can go into later, for something called Aspen Apothecary. And right now what we do is we create clean, conscious, and vegan CBD-infused perfumes that we sell through our website. And then eventually the goal would be to sell them in boutiques and in some big retailers.
Okay. Now, does it come in one size or is it different sizes?
So right now it's one size that we're starting out with. We have a roll-on fragrance and we really love that because we're really allergy prone. So we used to spray on perfumes and then sometimes sneeze afterwards. And so with the roll-on, you kind of get that close wear of kind of an intimate fragrance, but without the sneezing. And because our fragrances don't have phthalates and a lot of other things that are not great for you, they also don't give you headaches, which I know is a common complaint sometimes when you try to wear perfume.
Yes. I'm someone that has sensitive skin, so I appreciate that. now, is this a more of a women's scent, men's scent, or is it unisex?
We say it's for women, women with an X, meaning that you self-identify as a woman. But really, our fragrances are kind of more unisex. For example, one that we just finished formulating is called Moondust. And that one has Palo Santo and Vetiver and Sandalwood, Cedarwood, Bergamot. So a lot of trendy kind of scents. But as you can see, also not necessarily like super feminine. So I wear them. But I've also had male friends smell them and be like, I think I could wear this too.
Okay. I love it. Now, are you going to later on, I know once you all launch the grand opening, now are you all going to eventually, you think, separate and have like a men's line versus women's line, or are you just going to keep it going in the same flow where it's kind of can be either or?
I think we don't know yet. I think the goal would be to have fragrances, one for everybody, you know, because mm-hmm. fragrance is so personal. I was just having some of my friends smell like three different perfumes last night, one of which was mine. And so I went around, delivered the little fragrance card to their doorsteps and asked them to tell me what they smelled in each fragrance. And each of them came back with a very different description for each one. And so I think our goal, like to know that we've made it, would be that we have a fragrance that, you know, we have a couple of them and you at least can find one that you really identify with and that you like, whether you're a man, woman, you know, other. So that would be the kind of the dream.
Okay. And when I know your grand opening is not until 2021, but you are going to do like a sneak preview sale. Now, yes. Do you have the exact date for that or are you all still deciding?
So we're still deciding, but we know that at the very end of November, we'll be opening up the site for sales so that we can fulfill a couple of sales for holiday gifts since we've had those requests. And the best way to make sure that you'd be one of the first people who's able to order is to go to our website and sign up for our newsletter. We don't spam you. We send a weekly blog where we, you know, post blogs on our website, and we also do interviews through our Aspen Amplifies initiative, which I can get into later, but that's something that I'm really excited about. But through there, we'll be able to tell you when the site is going to open up for sales and so that you can get something in time for the holidays. And then we'll do our official launch at the beginning of March.
Okay. Now, did you want to go ahead? You go ahead and let them know what's the email, and as well as I'll put the link in the below in my description box.
Perfect. So if you go to our website, it's www.aspen-apothecary.com. And there are a couple of places where you can sign up for the newsletter, and that way you'll be on the list. Or if you have direct questions and just want a faster answer, you can email us directly. And it's my sister and me who will be responding and replying to you. And that's info@aspen-apothecary.com.
Okay. I love it. And I will get those links and I will put them in the description box as well. So that you can be able to communicate with her or her sister, as she said, that's her business partner, or you can just go ahead and get ready for the orders to come for the holidays.
Yes.
I am definitely going to support, and I'm going to be a patron as well. I love to support young entrepreneurs. So let's get in, mentioning entrepreneurship, let's get into the entrepreneur aspect, because I know a lot of my viewers, they notice that you are young. So if you don't mind, did you want to tell them your age?
Yeah, I'm 27, so I look younger than I am.
But I mean, 27 is still young. I would say 27 back anytime. That is not old at all. Okay, so let them know, being 27, you launched, but the whole process started long before now. The actual thought process of even wanting to be an entrepreneur and launching your own product started long before, being 27. Let them know, at what age did you even think about being an entrepreneur, and how long did it take for you and your sister to decide on a product and say, okay, we're going to actually do this?
Yeah, I think it took a while. So the way I think about it, my sister is very different than me. So just to start off, she's like a very healthy person, you know, eats with all the organic foods and cooks all of her dishes from scratch and uses the facial serums at night and all of that stuff. But she's also been very entrepreneurial, I would say, from the time she was young. So I remember she had a newspaper route and she enlisted me. I'm 3 years older than her. So she enlisted me to help her deliver the newspapers and would give me a cut of what she made. Aww. And so she's always kind of like had that knack for trying to, you know, figure things out like that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of entrepreneurship and this brand specifically, I think it wasn't something that we were planning on doing. You know, my background is working for 2 Fortune 100 companies before coming to business school, where I'm doing graduate school here at Harvard. And I think it was a couple of things that led us to want to launch. So first, through our classes at Harvard, I kind of realized that there are a lot of different types of people who could become entrepreneurs. And I always had it in my mind that it was just like this one type of person. But I realized that really you just need like strength, grit, resilience, scrappiness. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of the commonalities among a lot of different entrepreneurs. So that was one piece that said, okay, maybe we could do this. But in terms of the idea, that did start all the way back almost a year ago now. Last Thanksgiving, I was in New York visiting my sister and we were comparing our perfumes. And we were kind of just disappointed to find that they had 3 big things in common. And the first was that, you know, they were made by big conglomerates with old white men at the helm, and nothing is wrong with old white men, but sometimes we like to see a little, you know, a little mixture up at the top. Second, they, you know, made us sneeze, which I talked about the allergy piece. Mm-hmm. And then third, we just didn't know what was in them. And for me, I'm, you know, the kind of person who washes my face with hand soap. So I'm not like the healthiest person, but for my sister especially, I think it was really disappointing just because she's so mindful of what she puts on and in her body otherwise. So to find that the fragrance, which she was using almost every day, was like kind of undoing all that hard work, was just something that we weren't okay with. And so we thought there just has to be a better way and there has to be something better out there. And when we started searching, we realized that there's also just not a lot of diversity in fragrance. And so we thought, why shouldn't we be the people to change that? So that was kind of the first impetus into why we thought about this idea and why we started researching more and learning about fragrance, since we don't have a background in the industry at all.
I love it. Actually, I tell people all the time, for years, I thought entrepreneurs were, you know, these just, you know, extremely people that just could think of just, you know, great inventions. Yeah. But when you actually think about it, entrepreneurs are real people that just solve problems. Things mm-hmm. that you see, that's like you all, you saw, okay, it's a need for us. It's a need for us to see things from our view. That's what makes you an entrepreneur, that you can say, I'm going to do my own invention from something that I see that the market is missing. And I think it's great. My pastor, he always say, and I thought it, a lot of people laugh, but he's like, what? He say the person that made the casket, it wasn't because he was thinking about his own death, but he knew that eventually people would, you know, go ahead and transition on. Their family members would want to put them in the box underground. So somebody had to think about it. And so when you think about things like that, like every facet of life, somebody mm-hmm. thought of, we need that, even if it's not considered the most glamorous thing, even something as mortal as, you know, a casket, but still, it's needed. He made a whole mm-hmm. business off of it, you know? So I definitely give kudos to you and your sister for stepping out. Now, moving right along, we're also going to talk about long term. Now I know you are in graduate school. Once you graduate, mm-hmm. do you see yourself actually going back to the corporate America world? Or do you see yourself launching another business or carrying this along with your sister?
You know, I think it's a tough decision to make. I am somebody who is very risk averse by nature, which sounds crazy that I'm doing entrepreneurship, but I like the idea of some sort of stability. So when I first came to school, it was completely out of the question that I would want to do anything like entrepreneurship, especially full time. But I think the dream would be that we have a really great launch in March with all of you supporting us, and we're able to then raise funding to expand and scale really quickly. And then it would change into something that my sister and I could really do full time after school. That would be the dream.
Okay. I love it. And I'm going to send you about two links that I know where you can get funding from. And they do that for small business. And it's kind of like a Shark Tank kind of thing mm-hmm. where you do your pitch but you're pitching to already established business owners that want to give back. And we have a lot of those resources here in Texas, but they can help you anywhere you live. But I'm going to send you the actual okay. link so you can look at them, because I think it's good that entrepreneurs know that the funding doesn't have to be an issue. It's just you getting to the right people and getting in front of them, because I found out when I went into business, there's such thing as called angel investors. There are people that's filthy rich that yes. love to see yes. people like you and your sister. And they will help you. And sometimes they don't even want an investment or anything back. They just want to give you that money and just be, and they tell you, be blessed. You it know, just insane. To know, because, you know, one is the tax write-off for them. You know, you're a millionaire, billionaire, you need all the tax write-offs you can get. And then another part of it is because they just see that you're doing something that's not what we consider the norm. You're actually stepping out, being a great contribute to society by starting your own business. So a lot of them want to help. And I didn't know it until I got into business myself and I started going yeah. to different workshops. And I started seeing that it's a lot of filthy rich people that do give back, but you don't know about it because, of course, they don't do mainstream commercials. Exactly. They're not on the mainstream social medias. They're in these business meetings, passing their cards, passing their information quietly, you know.
Totally.
But yeah, I'll send you some information. But okay. Also, I want to talk about with your sister. Now, you said your sister, she's always been an entrepreneur. Now, do you think that she's going to go for entrepreneurship, or do you think that she's going to do the corporate America world? After
I don't think she'll do the corporate America. I think that... So my sister's background is she has always been sort of entrepreneurial, but then went to college, went to Northwestern, and studied economics and theater. Yeah. And then after that, went to pursue professional theater in New York. And she was doing that, booking gigs and jobs, and was part of the Actors Union. But of course, COVID hit. And so that whole industry sort of just disappeared. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a really hard time for her, but something really awesome that came out of it was that we were both in Ohio together from March until June working on this and kind of planning and thinking and strategizing. And I think she's realized how much she does like the idea of entrepreneurship. And so I think for her, I don't know what's next, but I would hope that we can continue to work together because while it's been tough for our relationship, I think it's also made it a lot stronger.
Yeah. And so do you all consider yourself like a family? Do you actually say we're your family business?
We say that we're co-founded by sisters. So it feels kind of like a family business.
I like it because I always ask, you know, how do you, you know, preference your business? Because I know for everyone is different. And I like it, co-founded by sisters. I love it. Now, I know that we talked about your parents. I know your mom, I know she's ecstatic that her daughters are working together and you all are launching a business, making your own revenue. That is exciting for her. Mm-hmm. I know as a mom, like, she's like so relieved that you all have your own revenue.
Yeah, and that we like each other and love each other too. I think that was like, that was the biggest thing for her, was one that we're, you know, responsible adults that are kind to others, but also kind to each other.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been the thing that's been most exciting. And she's even got to accompany us when we went to go smell our first version of our Moondust perfume, for example, at the perfume formulator. She actually came with us and got to smell and was chatting, you know, to everyone. So I think it's fun to have her be a part of it as well.
I love it. Now, as far as the actual chemistry part of making it, you mentioned going to the perfume formulator. Now, for anybody that's actually wanting to get into the industry, not in the same form, but, you know, just want to understand the concept of it. Now, is that something that's local or do you have, you all have to travel and how do you go about it? How long does it normally take? Is it like a whole day process? Is it a couple of hours? Like, is it a big investment? Yeah. Let them know, like, just a quick, you know, synopsis of how you even get to that point of mixing your fragrances.
Yeah. So in terms of kind of the fragrance industry, I'll start with that and then I'll talk about our process and why we decided to go that way. It's kind of dominated by a couple of huge companies. So you have your kind of L'Oreal's, which own all the way from your established brands to something like Le Labo, which is a trendy niche, you know, indie fragrance brand. You have Zara, which actually puts out a lot of different fragrances, brands like that, right? But a lot of them actually go to one of four, only four in the world, huge fragrance houses. And most of those are in a place called Grasse, France, which is called like the fragrance capital of the world, because I guess they like invented perfume way, way back in the day. And so it's a really hard industry to get into when you start out because, you know, those conglomerates and those perfume houses, they call them, they, you know, won't take you if you're doing anything under, you know, maybe tens of thousands of units at a time. So you have your big giants, then you have kind of in the middle, you have some other people who do some work for large companies. Maybe they do perfume work, maybe they do candles as well. And then you have a lot of independent fragrance people who do kind of one-off or unique projects, or maybe they have their own brands as well. So that's kind of the structure that I've seen and that I learned. And what we did was we were fortunate enough to kind of first emailed everyone on LinkedIn cold. We did a lot of research to understand just what the landscape was, who those fragrance houses are, what are the ones that exist in the States. So I think we messaged a lot of people on Instagram as well and LinkedIn and kind of just kept on trying until we got in contact. And then for the perfume formulator that we actually use, it came recommended from a mentor of ours who's also in the fragrance industry who we got paired with this summer. And so he's in New York and has done fragrances for a lot of really trendy brands. I don't think I'm at liberty to say.
Right.
But so we love that he is local enough, right, so we can drive there. But to your point about the process, it's a long one. So we start with an idea of what we want, the kind of feeling and mood that we want of the perfume. then we start thinking about the specific ingredients at play that would kind of go with each other, and we call those the fragrance notes. And then we think about how they would essentially harmonize together, and we build all of that into some sort of kind of brief, and we give it to our perfume formulator, talk through it with him, and then he gets to work. And that takes a couple of days to a couple of weeks, depending on how much he has going on. And then we get to smell a first version, a second version, a third version, and we just keep on tweaking it until it's right. So it's a process.
Okay. Now, does it, now how long would you say it takes in a day when you're going through the process? Is it maybe like 2 or 3 hours, or do you at least spend, say you spend most of like a half of a work day or something like that there?
When we go there, it probably only takes about an hour or so, because we're going, we're talking through what changes we've made, kind of just catching up, and then going and smelling the fragrances. Trying to ask him a couple of questions to learn about fragrance in general, and you know, see what else is kind of new and out there. But other than that, it's not a long process in and of itself. Every day when we go, it's just that the process from start to finish takes a while, because first you have the formulation, then you need to kind of heat treat the perfume formula to make sure that it can last for 6 months to 12 months, so it's shelf stable. So there's kind of just a long process from start to finish.
Oh, wow. This is exciting for me, because I didn't know it was actually that long, extensive of a process. You don't think about it when you buy the bottles, when you see them in the stores. Like, I mean, you hear about wine and, you know, different liquors. Like, I know the vodkas and things like that, the brandies, they take, it's a process with them.
That's true. Some are years.
We go to the distillery, and I heard, and as you said before, you know, even get to this process, it's work to even get into the to the perfume formulary part. That's a process in which a lot of people don't talk about that itself, because I found out even getting into the liquor industry, they saying that getting into that liquor and wine industry is not simple. I thought it was tough. You just you know, crush a few grapes, you know, and voila, you know. But they like, no, it's, they say it's like a secret society, and I didn't know it's that less than 5% are people of color. They said, you do your research, less than 5% of people of color that actually own their own different alcoholic, like, you know, vodkas or whiskeys and wines and things like that. So definitely kudos to you all for sticking that process out and breaking through, because we need to see that it is young women and then women of color that's embarking in these different industries that we've never seen before. Now, wrapping up a little bit, is there anything that you want to tell the guests about entrepreneurship, about launching a product, working with a sibling, anything you want to tell the viewers, just to encourage them, because we have a wide variety of viewers and a lot of them are interested in different things. Of course, now everyone, because of the pandemic, what can you, words of wisdom or advice you want to give them?
I feel like we're still so early in the journey, but I have definitely learned a lot so far. And I think a couple of things. So on working with family, first, I would say it's not easy. So make sure it's something that you think through and you want to do. For my sister and me, we were in the same house for a long time when we were working. And that was great because we could just, you know, run down the stairs and ask each other a question. But it also meant that it blurred the lines a lot between kind of like our sibling relationship, our friend relationship, and our working relationship. So it took us a while to figure out how to structure that. So I would just say, be mindful of that. And then for entrepreneurship, I think the biggest thing for us was changing our mindset, because, you know, at first we were thinking, why us? Why should we do this? And instead, I think as a product of a program we were in this summer, we were able to see, why not us? We should have the confidence to try. Lots of people try and fail, that's okay. But trying and getting somewhere is also a really great accomplishment. And so I think coming in with that mindset of, why shouldn't it be us? Why can't it be us? That has really helped us even on the days when it's a little tougher, or, you know, it's long hours and it's 3 a.m. and we're still doing something. It's like, why shouldn't it be us, you know? And I really like that so far. And then I guess the last piece I would say is, if you are thinking of doing something and you're not sure, just do as much research as you can and reach out to people as frequently as you can. I think I was really scared at first of reaching out to people on LinkedIn, or, you know, that I found their contact information on Google, and not everyone is going to respond, but a lot of people do. And a lot of people will make the time for you. And that was something that we've just been really humbled to figure out and learn, because people are just willing to help much more than you realize.
Yeah, I agree. I always say, I saw a quote a while ago that says, opportunity dances with those already on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, once you get out there and you make that first move, you'll be surprised how much help, how much support that you can get, but you just have to get out there. And a lot of times you don't know that the people that's watching you, if someone is watching you, they're scared. But once they see that you make it, they're like, oh, I can make it too. I can get out there too. So it's not something that you have to always, people think that you always have to come from success. You know, you can create success, and so that your lineage, your children, your children's children can say, well, oh, she stepped out. You know, we're always waiting to say, well, why I didn't already come from somebody that was successful? But you can be that person that changed the dynamics of your family line, that one day your great grandkids will be sitting around talking about you and all the things that you and your sister did for the family. Oh, well, I told you before, I am so proud of you and your sister. Thank you. I think it's amazing that you all stepped out. I will be a supporter, and I will be promoting your product to make sure you all have a very, very good launch, even when you do your pre-sales, and then when you do your major launch in March. I'll keep in contact to make sure, so I can plug it out there for you, because a lot of times that's all that it is, takes is marketing. That's all. And now it's just word of mouth. If someone says that they know you, a person will buy it based off of the fact that somebody that they know is saying, hey, they're good people, support them, they'll do it. All right. Well, I thank you so much for chatting with me. I appreciate you for taking time out your busy day, because you're a businesswoman.
This has been so great. Thank you.
No problem. I love to support entrepreneurs, and especially my melanated sisters. I love it. Tell your sister congratulations from me, because you all made it this far. Congratulations. I can't wait for the pre-sale. And I can't wait to hear about how everything is going. I wish you all much success. Happy holidays to you and your family. And we'll keep in touch. And to my viewers and my listeners, we'll be back. Don't you think that we're going anywhere? No. I still have more guests coming before the holidays, so that you'll have stuff to watch and you have stuff to listen to and download during the holidays. So this is not it. But I just want you all to know, as my guests, I always state that I pick real people. My podcast is for real people, so that you can understand that you can live an unapologetically life. That's what the podcast is all about. Living unapologetically, not being afraid to step out, to live your best life, regardless of what your family, your friends, your neighbors, regardless of what everyone else is doing, you say, I'm going to take charge of my own life. As always, make your own memories, create your own opportunities. I'll be back with another fire guest. Until next time, I'm out, y'all.
Fearless is not the absence of fear. It's living life with fear, but jumping anyway, accomplishing your goals.